Keeping casual. It's not much of an agenda. I just threw some things on there that were salient for me personally.
I just started recording, so we can get started. I'm going to keep
Oh.
standing and hopefully it's not too distracting.
Okay. Didn't isn't there somewhere where, so I just clicked on the link. First co-working session text, like
Right.
a link, but it's not where I actually put notes from our first co-working session.
I think it is. It's co-working session 1022 open thread.
That's not what's
You
linked.
pasted some notes right after the meeting.
What's linked is co-working open sessions weekly to collaborate.
Right, so that's another one.
Yeah.
That's another thread.
Anyway,
But
yeah.
then we created, or I created a specific thread for last for this month, the session we had on Monday.
Yes, I'll edit this wiki with that link real quick so that anyone, including Doug right now, has access to that. I did find the other one, and so. What came, do you want to summarize what came out of that 1 hour meeting we had, Marco?
Yeah, I have to remember it first. But let me actually pull up your notes. That'll help. That'll jog my memory. Right. We went into it with the idea that we'd start working on the Kumu mapping and specifically on the partner aspect of that. So the different organizations and entities that we're aware of, or that we've been in at least some kind of incipient communication with, or that we're on the email lists for, et cetera. I made a slight, I guess, amendment to that suggestion that we look, in addition to doing that, and I thought prior to doing that, we could look at who we already have. So not our external partners, but our internal people, and that could lead into, or that could be realized in a process of like an interview and a kind of in-depth survey where we're learning about, in a conversational way and in a way that gets somehow represented, like so put into like a database, for example, or a spreadsheet, or some other form that can be kept up to date and used to make connections and to serve that role of grouping people, connecting people, forming groups. The idea was to perhaps do that on Kumu, and that expanded out into more of a kind of bigger picture conversation about, well, there's a whole bunch of things that we need to do. The mapping is one aspect of that, and the mapping can break down, as a project unto itself with multiple areas. But could do we have a sense, overall sense of what we have to do, and some way of chunking it down into, more manageable parts that still have an overview, like that still show the interconnection among them. And we talked a bit about the mandala metaphor or image. We also talked about the guiding star and near star way of framing things, where the whole cosmos, in a sense, the co-op would have it's a guiding star, but that individual groups or working areas, departments, whatever you want to call them, within Cosmos would have their own sort of provisional stars that are like aligned to that guiding star. But we would need to really articulate what those things are and even give them some visual representation. We also spoke about the way that, we all have our orientations and ways of chunking things down. Like you look at Cosmos in terms of people, systems, and platform, or people, platform, economics. I had a different kind of chunking, but they're compatible. But I was looking at technology and systems and community and conversations, and I shared the sketch that I had drawn and the sort of proto mandala with the yin yang in the middle and stillness and action and receptivity and creativity, and then having these outer layers. But the idea would be that we can begin to build out really what those articulations are and stack them, so we could see the different perspectives on the parts, but also we could begin to prioritize like what needs to happen. And as we were discussing that, we partly looked at this process we are already modeling, the praxis process, which you've outlined, that goes from sensed bits, possibilities and ideas, to priorities, to actually, you know, resourced projects. And like I think what we were coming to is sort of a dual kind of a balanced between the open participatory nature of that, and then also looking at what things do we already know need to be attended to from an executive perspective, like things such as accounting, legal incorporation, security issues like passwords and things like that. Like these are all things that have to be done whether or not people vote for them, because there's no co-op ultimately unless we can just ground it in those senses. And so I think where we more or less ended off with this was with an idea that part of what we need to start forming, and I don't know exactly how to do this, but is a kind of executive committee or function that can take care of those things and serve a provisional role, like of getting things on track, while at the same time opening up to the next phase when Cosmos is a full-fledged cooperative and people have membership and voting rights or whatever other rights and responsibilities attend to membership. So that's like the next stage. One other thing we talked about was the leveling up and defining what that leveling up is. And that's where we were really bringing in these two sides. Like, yeah, we do need to level up in the sense of defining a vision broadly, an inclusive vision, but we also need to level up in terms of, you know, taking care of some practical matters. And so the balancing of those two and how that would come together into an agenda, like a broad scale agenda for what's being done and who's doing it, and a kind of weekly, you know, some sort of management or tracking process to really bring that home. That's what we were, I think, going to come back to today. And
oh, I didn't know we were going to continue this conversation, like continue incubating this idea.
Oh, well, not necessarily, but I'm just going by your, you added to the agenda for today. Where is it?
Just review what we talked about and I guess, yeah, like get a sense for next steps. But I want to add several things to your summary, if that's all right.
Sure.
Of what we talked about. So It ties in with my brother Nate's feedback about that Cosmos needs internal processes by which members validate certain initiatives. Praxis process is an attempt at setting up a structure whereby members directly validate through their attribution of resources, especially a token coin that doesn't exist yet, but could indicate their actual willingness to support different initiatives. So that way we could have more horizontal, you know, generation of proposals and more horizontal prioritization of those proposals. And that's going to be really important for just in general the realization of the vision for Cosmos. What we talked about in our meeting on Monday is, could there be a way where we actually solicit people's input on what they want to see happen in Cosmos through a format of interviews, maybe even leveraging this idea of Cosmopods as the vehicle for these interviews, and then gathering the data from those interviews about what people want to have happen through Cosmos, you know, allowing people to tell their own story of what they would like to have happen through Cosmos. And then the data of that, gathering that and layering that into layers of a map and discovering where there's overlap, discovering where there's a lot of interest concentrating on the map. And so in terms of implementing that, we definitely need human beings to parse and analyze the data. But then once we have a sense of where at least like where concentrated interest is, we're getting closer to having a guiding star, that like north star of where we're going together. And then we can start to articulate near stars, which is like what we can do now to get closer. And that would be essentially the guiding star and near star idea is leveling up. It's articulating like what we need to get to next level two Cosmos or whatever. I had something else to add. Leveling up. The executive team. Oh, okay. So similar to how Praxis process flows, I think what we can do is first get perspective from the members on what they would like to have happen, what they envision Cosmos doing. And we might have multiple views for the same map. We might have multiple ways that we weight the data in the map, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight, to look at different perspectives on what is really being asked for and needed. But then what that would need, like, because anyone can sit around and speculate, this is what I'd want in an ideal world. But there would be a second step where people with the skills in actual organizational development and platform development and community development would consult on how this could possibly happen, right? So we kind of get consensus on the desires, but then we need that pragmatic, grounded, like bring it down to earth, how could we do that? That critical perspective on, which would include everything you said, Marco, about just like basic stuff, accounting and project management and all that kind of stuff. So so where we ended up on the idea about executive teams is that we could have liquid, kind of like temporary fluid formations of advisory teams in each kind of skilled area. So like organization and being one area, and then like, you know, et cetera, platform, whatever. And that they would consult on the feasibility, right, of certain dreams being realized and like how to get there and kind of setting those in the Praxis process language, it would be the criteria, setting the criteria for actual fulfillment of these kind of speculative proposals, these dreams that our members are producing through these interviews. Does that make sense? I'm just trying to refine some of these ideas a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't record that meeting, so for the benefit of anyone watching this, you know what we talked about.
And since I wasn't there, I can say it's making sense what you're saying. Maybe a question which I have the answer partially formed in my mind, but so we have the current website, the current channel that was the priorities and proposals that was placed. So not a question to be answered now, but what's going through right now is how would the Kumu map, how would that visualization differ from what we already have? Which you've explained a little bit, but I'm trying to imagine the differences in my mind and how it would flow a little bit better. And then on management in general, or the accessing individuals to be a part of the process, to be on as part of the developing of this whole idea, whether it's on the smallest end of editing mistyped words or using their knowledge or gifts, their levels of expertise to bring that to fruition on the site. That, and I'll use, since we used the Quaker metaphor before we started recording, there are committees. There's the nominating committee who kind of goes out and decides who would be a good fit for what aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Marco's idea of seeing who we have internally for that at this point, before trying to branch out and find the external. So in parallel to that Quaker setup, which is a frequent reoccurrence, we do need the numbers, or it does fall back on to individuals who say, okay, well, I'll just take on that role because this committee is not formed, or mm-hmm. this obviously won't exist with what we have available.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
we run into a lot of chicken and egg conundrums like this, where if we had the insight at this moment into what people's capacities and skills and talents fully were, then we could probably identify an individual or a group to work on setting up the data architecture that we'd need to facilitate a process by which we glean people's information. So this is the kind of thing we're gonna always be running into. And we just gotta do our best. So yeah, like I'm envisioning a set of workflows where we are facilitating, we're basically, and I do see this process as described, nesting nicely into CosmoPods and the desire to launch those. So, you know, I see a set of workflows where, you know, ideally we would make it as easy as possible, as friendly and as enjoyable as possible for individuals to submit their answers to questions like, what would you like to have happen here? Why are you here? You know, that kind of thing. And then also, what do you have to offer? And what are you seeking? And we could use that opportunity to like build the data sets that we need to actually interconnect people more effectively, to interconnect them to opportunities for productive support on Cosmos and all of these things. But I am no expert. Like I can just sit here and kind of think through what the data systems might need to be for that to be operational, but you know, and so I could cobble together something, and that's the kind of tack I've been taking, but is that what is best? Is that what we need? I don't know. What are your thoughts on this kind of continuous chicken and egg? We're always encountering like a curve in this labyrinth where we're like, oh, we need the thing that we need to make the thing that we need. Damn. Yeah.
That's what I'm sure the two of you have been discussing the past 4 years. and you have done a tremendous service by making within writing. We have a lot of good readers on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can all get around to analyzing this reading mm-hmm. or this writing that you've done. And that's your service. That's your greatest project and it's complete at this point. And, I frequently tell the two of you and anybody else involved that I'm an ignoramus when it comes to technical things, but here I am. I'm not devoted to anyone here on the site, but I'm devoted to this mm-hmm. this whole process. And it's been useful since I have the time at this time for me to utilize and to assist the vision the visions that continue to come up. Mm-hmm. And without we all understand that here. I wanted to give a little feedback on the cosmopods, and an idea that popped up was that seems to be the best way to retain those that would be sorry, I receive calls every now and then. So.
Oh.
So I'm thinking a few members of the reading group would be attending these calls, but then might not see them ever again, or mm-hmm. somebody who is part of a cafe session for one as a guest might not come back just because we invited them as a guest. They might not understand the role, but cosmopods, I like to introducing individuals to what's going on in the cosmos through the cosmos pods, or developing deeper relations. Mm-hmm. But I see it also as a way to retain, like at the end of a reading group, as we're doing with the Aurobindo reading, with Mateo suggesting this idea alone, it could quite possibly carry on mm-hmm. into the future. These would be individuals that would say, well, perhaps I'll just have these conversations elsewhere, because, well, Aurobindo talk is done, whatever it might be. I'm thinking of other people too, with past readings, that if we continue that connection, that conversation with them, and not just simply an email saying, hey, how's it going? But actually this face-to-face conversation really allows for information to be, the information flow to be expedited. That our goals to be tossed out into this space, and or our potentials and to be processed in some form or fashion. So that's a way I see is retaining individuals. So yeah, I like where that idea is going at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will be going now, so thanks for listening. I'll listen in and perhaps chime in. But thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
See you, Doug. Well, we can't stay stuck in the chicken and egg problem. Like, we have to, and the only, as far as I can tell, the only way really out of that is you have to create some minimal structures just by fiat. Like, whoever the creators are, whoever steps up, whoever is present, like, they're, you know, I'm exercising individual initiative, you are, and that's arisen in a few places where individuals propose doing a certain kind of group or a certain kind of project, and they do it, and I've been supportive of that. We don't really have great templates for those yet. Like, they're happening more spontaneously, and they're kind of copying some of the things that have already been done in past groups, and we're using the same tech and the same processes. But that's the kind of thing where we're going to have a scaling issue, because as soon as more people get involved, then it's harder to keep them engaged. If I have, you know, if there's just a handful of people that are interacting, and we already are involved in different kinds of groups. So I think that, you know, the cosmopods idea, ideally it would go through a whole process of vetting, but there isn't quite the community to vet it yet. It just seems to be we like it. I like it. You like it. Doug likes it. Mateo likes it. Katina likes it. So that, I mean, that suggests it's like a starting point. You know, that's something that we can actually act on.
Well, and I want to just point out that we're conflating the process by which we glean people's desires and inform a cosmos direction with cosmopods. But I think that in any case, like, we need to process map cosmopods. Well, we need to process map all of this, but starting with whatever has the most priority. And so cosmopods serve multiple functions. So that probably is a good, and like you said, it's a popular idea. So that could be the thing that we map out how it works. Like, what is the actual workflow of energy from point A to point B? And so, and then be able to start executing the pods, training people to do them, et cetera. So let's table the conversation about everything we talked about on Monday for a minute and just talk about that.
like process mapping that probably involves process mapping other things too, right? Because, and also that's a good idea, but, and I see a lot of value to it in terms of what Doug was just saying about, well, this is a concrete something that people can do ongoingly. So even if they're interested in a reading group or whatever, this becomes a sort of a permanent connection point, like a way of continuing to engage. Yeah. So it's the beginning of, like, what does membership in Cosmos mean? These are the things you can do. Reading groups, etc., but the Cosmopods is one of them. So now we're talking, so what that does, however, is it kicks up the question to, right, there's membership in Cosmos. How does that exactly work? Because somebody's signing up. Cosmopods is one of the things that is involved, one option that they have, but there's also a money flow. There's also communications flow. So we kind of have to almost map that before we map the Cosmopods.
I want to talk a little bit about the intersections of these things and about metaphors real quick. So Cosmopods are an idea that are, that has linkages or branches. It has like tentacles that are entwined with other outcomes and other objectives. It relates to onboarding members. It relates to gleaning information from members that we can then actually utilize in the framework of the platform to improve user experiences, to improve productive outcomes for users. So it's implicated, like the creation of Cosmos, and this is where it gets all chicken and egg tangly, because it's like the any creation of anything is implicated in the capacities of other things. Just like in an ecosystem, right? You don't have like a, you know, a being just emerge fully formed and all the other beings then start to relate to it. It's more like we all co-evolve, but that is slow. And, you know, I think process mapping, so articulating like, what are Cosmopods? Well, Cosmopods are a pattern of behavior. Okay, how does it start? How does it end? Like, is that, that's actually a bridge to the future, if that makes sense. Like articulating it in a way where it becomes a doable thing instead of just a label for a kind of a vague idea is like a bridge to the future of now we can start doing this thing. It's just like when you created Metapsychosis or you created Readers Underground or Writers Underground. These are behavioral patterns, you know, ways of talking to each other about certain things. And so those become patterns. Now those patterns, I think of them like RNA or DNA. RNA, we'll start with RNA because we all emerged from RNA, the soup, the primordial soup of just like these chains of proteins or whatever, these electrolytes, whatever they were. I don't know. I'm not an expert in early life. But the idea being that these patterns self-replicated on the basis of their adaptability, their adaptiveness. So, you know, to the extent that Readers Underground fulfills a yearning or a need of people in this environment, this milieu, it's going to be replicated. It's going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to evolve and innovate and mutate. Great. So we're basically, what I'm trying to say is we're, this is, I know I'm speaking metaphorically, but what I'm trying to say is what we're trying to do is articulate those patterns, which I've called process templates in other lingo, but it's, we're trying to get to this like primordial form of something that benefits us and then iterate and then use it. And then it'll evolve or it might just die off because it's not useful or as useful to people as we think it is initially, but then that's feedback. That's when something dies off. That's also feedback about the makeup of our current systems and our current members.
Right.
So, okay. So that's just, I want to like get grounded in, at least I just want you to hear, or other people watching this to hear, how I'm relating to all of this. This is like the I'm operating from some deep metaphors around modeling life here. And so that's where I'm coming from here. So we're in this primordial soup. We have some preliminary patterns. And so like cosmopods is like an emergent, it could be a new emergent species from what we want to have happen and where we are now. It's like the generative milieu of like where we are now and what we want to have happen. Like, can we catalyze, you know, a transformation that creates a new species here? Mm-hmm. And we, you know, just in the chicken and egg thing, it's like, seems like this cosmic crisis, because like there's a membrane that has to be broken through, a membrane of time and space that has to be broken through to like get to the future. But what that even is vague. How do you get there if you can't even feel it? Like, what is it? And that's just, I think that's just the nature of emergence. Like, you just never know until after it's happened. It's like this weird, you know, like almost like future dictating the past kind of scenario, right? So, you know, accepting the fact that you just, you'd never tell with the nature of emergence, I think just really focusing on what each of us feels called to and feels empowered to experiment with is good enough. So like cosmopods, you know, hey, it seems like a lot of people are interested in that. It also seems like a bridge to other things we want to have happen. Like with the cosmopods species, with this pattern, it could bridge to, you know, various positive outcomes. Even just the positive outcome of like having this kind of normative form of meeting that people build stronger interpersonal relationships through. Because mm-hmm. that in and of itself, currently cosmos's systems are not set up to like deliberately cause to happen. Right. So even just that is like, boom, that's a positive. Like that will create a, just straight up, that will create a more generative milieu. So yeah. Let's try it. Right. So I think we just, you know, that's been my MO so far, is just like pick the thing that seems most salient and begin iterating on it. And so, you know, process mapping is something where, like, what I mean by that is like, we sit down and we talk through what needs to happen. So I would like, we would just, you and I or other people who wanted to be involved in that conversation, we would just talk through like, what's a cosmopod? Mm-hmm. Like, what does it look, how does it function? How does it move through the world? Like, what is it constituted of? And start mapping, you know, like, what needs to happen and stages and like, you know, stages of maturity even of the organism. Mm-hmm. So like maybe at first it's just, we'll pilot an example and then later it becomes like this normative thing that can happen in cosmos and new members receive, you know, a video encouraging them to do it in a specific zone where they can register for a cosmopod and all this kind of fun interactive stuff, so it feels more like a game. That's like the, maybe a mature version, but we can also design a really, really rudimentary version that's just attainable now and iterate from there.
Mm-hmm. So the suggestion, the proposal, maybe not proposal, but the idea is that we use cosmopods as an occasion to, you called it a bridge, to mm-hmm. developing these other processes that it's connected to. But the fact that there's this, you know, concrete type of engagement or behavior that we're oriented around gives those other things kind of a salience or a purpose. So we have to figure out like the money flows or the onboarding flows of membership signups. But we have a reason to do that because we have to figure it out for the sake of setting up these cosmopods.
I'm sorry. What do we have to figure out for the sake of setting up cosmopods?
Well, I was talking about things like when somebody like signs up as a Cosmos member, like that Cosmopod is one thing you can do and might be a standard thing you do when you sign up. But we haven't, like, we have an old process for doing that, which currently is not too scalable. It's not too thought through. So what I'm saying,
can non-members be in Cosmopods?
I guess so. But
we had this, do you remember we established this kind of loose principle for what's member and what's non-member? And it was just like, if there are kind of a considerable amount of resources that actually go into the thing on a regular basis, then that's something that members, because they're paying, could access. But like, if it's something that it's just a matter of creating, you know, it once or whatever, then non-members can, you know what I mean? Like it's a threshold. You had said not to, like, we don't want to put, what was it, gatekeeping or money, you know, gatekeeping to things that actually are accessible. And I think the pattern template of what a Cosmopod is can be super accessible. I don't think it's not like an innovation to say, let's get together in groups of four to talk. It's what, you know, where it maybe becomes an innovation, or where it maybe like takes a lot of resources on Cosmos's part at the organizational level, then we could do that. But I don't think it would. I think, especially at first, we're going to really be relying on people's actual willingness to follow through. I think the groups, I strongly feel the groups should be mixed with engagement levels. So not just like a group of four who are, have, each of them has very low engagement, but a mixed group, like an intergenerational group where it's like people with heavy, middle, and low engagement in a pod.
Right.
And that way we're helping each other, we're facilitating deeper connections. And that can just happen by member autonomy, but we could maybe set up helpful, supportive structures, not just the prompts to like do it, but, you know, kind of the template for doing it and things like that. But it's just people could just start doing it. Now, whether the information from those pods gets back into the Cosmos system and the meaning or the weight that we give the data from those pods getting back into the Cosmos system, that's a slightly separate consideration, I feel. The kind of step where Cosmos gleans from those.
Right.
But just setting up the Cosmopods, I don't think is going to be super resource intensive. Those are my...
I think people should be members for Cosmopods. I think it should be one of the core features of Cosmos. And the reason they should be members is because the Cosmopod is a real zone of intensive intimacy. Like, it's people that you should be able to trust, and who, you know, you're going to be sharing your, you know, your deepest struggles with, and the issues that are of ultimate concern.
There's some long-term commitment kind of thing.
I think there should be a threshold of commitment. Like reading a book, not so much, you know,
right.
Like, I think that's the kind of thing where it doesn't, you know, it's of interest to you, and here's an opportunity to participate in, with a group of maybe like-minded people. But I think the idea of Cosmopods, and this is coming through Mateo and partly through Katina, who had a different concept, she called it friendship circles, is that it's more of a longer term, and it's more of, you know, like, these are people who are on the path in some way. You know, they're on a, maybe not your, they're not on your path, but you're sharing aspects of your paths. And so that's my opinion about it. I'm also noticing that I don't know if I personally want to be in a Cosmopod, only because I'm already in a lot of the contexts. Like, I'm already spending a lot of time in reading groups and work meetings and writing groups and so forth. So I see that they're important. Like, I see that how essential the structure would be. because not everybody is just in all these things, you know. Most people are just trying out Cosmos for the first time. They're signing up and they may become members, so they may not really be attracted to other things, but this may be the like one thing that's very attractive and very grounding, because it offers that chance for fellowship and communion, and it's not like limited to a specific intellectual content. Like, it could really be open to what's most important to you, like what's most important to whatever that is. So I really see that, even though I don't personally feel like I need it. And that's not to say that I wouldn't participate in or you know, like use it in the future. I think that if we moved forward with that, it would be really good to talk with Mateo, and because he has some experience running them and over, you know, multiple groups over time. And also like Katina, because she has an idea. And Doug, the friends, like the Quakers, they I think model some of these kinds of social structures that we could be learning from and drawing from. It would still leave these other tasks that I would need, like I would feel the need to be addressed. Like, I don't think it solves the issue. Like, I think it needs, you know, I'm still thinking about our file management and our finances and things like that. And so I would kind of be reluctant to focus a lot on Cosmopods personally without addressing the other aspects that I feel a certain pressure about.
So we could invite Mateo into a consulting conversation about Cosmopods. We could make that a topic for a future Thursday meeting or otherwise. But you know, I'm just a little frustrated because you keep mentioning this need to like work on more maybe tangible things or like the unpretty background stuff. And I don't see that actually coming out in our conversations on Thursdays, except as this kind of broad, that needs work. And you're the only one saying it because you're the only one touching those things. So I don't understand what those conversations actually need to consist of. And if we need to focus like on building a specific capacity, you know what? Yeah, I just feel confused and I keep hearing it, but I don't know how to respond to it.
Sure. That's partly just because I don't want to derail the conversation into like the weeds. You know, there's a lot of details that we need to hash out, and we're working on more fundamental, I think, questions and issues. And so I keep bringing it up because I know it needs attention and I want to keep presencing it because it's an important piece of things for me, but not just for me. Like, I think it's fundamental to you know, the overall operations. And I'm glad to talk more about them and to detail things if we want to go there. I just didn't want to force that on you or anybody else.
Well, this has come up many times over the last 2 years. And one of the things you say is that you need help like being interviewed, or you need help actually like getting that information out somewhere, and that your efforts to do so have happened in fits and starts, where you've tried to like articulate the systems in the background, like, and the kind of help you need, but then it doesn't fully come to fruition. And so I'm trying to think of what would be helpful, like what is maybe a helpful way to approach this problem of elucidating the actual background issues. And you know, maybe a way, like I'm just thinking for me, what would be helpful if there was like a bunch of things that kind of couldn't happen because other kind of systemic pragmatic things hadn't happened, would be to articulate where there are barriers, where there are blocks. Like for you to say, X, Y, or Z can't happen until, boom, or because this is at this capacity. So really articulating things in terms of blocks or articulating things in terms of capacity. And we'll be able to then see, like anyone else besides you will be able to then see that we don't have the capacity for certain possibilities to be realized, that kind of thing. I'm just spitballing.
Yeah.
Because it'll keep coming up. Mm. If, you know, we start moving on any given proposal that feels salient, but then you, because you're the only one who knows, there's like this, just this barrier of information, like you will say, oh, we can't do that because of this. And so we'll keep hitting the barriers until we like can see the barriers. So
yeah.
Is there a way to get those barriers this transparent, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of, I mean, what I have in mind is like, what are the steps to get to a co-op? Like, right? Like I'm looking at the actuality, like right now I'm the single member of the co-op according to the state of Colorado. So there's a bank account that we have. There's websites that are assets, basically, like they're things that need to be maintained and cared for and further developed. And I have access. I'm the one who has the administrative access to them.
We have documentation that articulates how membership would work. Is it true that the only thing we need is $10,000?
No, that's not true, because part of what we were trying to articulate, like going through the key docs and the logic of like how does the whole thing really fit together, is that all those specific like legal matters would be really derived from that. So like from the philosophical ideas, we would then distill the bylaws and the membership agreements and the licensing agreements and the organizational structure, like, you know, a co-op has a board of directors, right? How are those board of directors decided? That would be
not necessarily,
but there's some governance structure that is like codified, and that's a level of specificity that's not in the key docs. There's principles for how we would codify that, and but not yet the codification of them.
Yeah.
So
I was hoping that that would emerge through greater participation, but it, you know, there, because the thing is, especially, well, maybe practice process is a step in that direction, but there isn't governance happening except by you and maybe me, right? So that's actually, I wanted to see what would emerge if governance was occurring, what the structure would, you know, that people were feeling would look like. So, yeah, I don't know how to address that. But we could just make something up. The problem with that is undoing certain structural choices later gets really hairy.
Right.
You know,
there's a benefit to waiting. There's a benefit to not concretizing. So that's part of why I'm not forcing it, is because things have to be sort of mature, you know,
before. We can still, but here's the thing, we can still play, like play house, like children playing house. We can still play co-op before we're a co-op. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, what needs to happen to be a co-op, just not legally, I guess.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So, I mean, like one of the things that like would be fundamental, I think, is the sign-up process and the finances. So right now we have a shopping cart, basically, a WooCommerce, to be specific, shopping cart on cosmos.coop, and people sign up there. It doesn't happen very much because we don't advertise it, and there's not really, you know, like that whole, like the whole sales process, if you want to call it that, is relatively rudimentary. It's rudimentary. But so what happens is somebody goes to the website, cosmos.coop, they go to the join us page, they read that, they enter their information, they sign up, and they start, you know, that there's a credit card transaction that starts. That money goes into the bank account.
Right.
They then, I get an email, an email goes to the forum, but not much is really established beyond that as to what happens. At one point, we talked about a welcoming committee and guides, and you know, I think that that's still a good idea. But there isn't actually kind of like a set protocol or who's responsible and when does it happen and like how is that member actually greeted. And so that would be important. Like that would be important to any other, you know, things. I think, just to finish the thought, that I would like to, in order to do this pretend co-op thing and to offload the technology maintenance, because I didn't upgrade the WooCommerce plugin. It's a yearly subscription because it's like $200 to do and there wasn't enough money in the bank account to do it. So I would rather move it all to Open Collective and let people sign up there, set up a process where when somebody signs up, there's a notification that happens and there's a group or committee that like has figured out what happens next as far as communicating with that person. But then Open Collective, that page is just minimally set up, and really to be successful there, we would be paying attention to it. So we'd sort of be tweaking the levels and we'd be sending traffic there and we'd be posting updates and we'd actually be running our accounting through it so that people who sign up would see, oh, this is how we're doing. This is how much money is in the collective. This is what it's being spent on, et cetera.
Yeah.
That wouldn't require a formally incorporated co-op. I mean, we are, but that wouldn't require like the whole legal system. So those are some things. I mean, there's more I could go into, but it's like the kind of thing that's just sitting because it's not a trivial project. They actually would take a number of hours to think it through, to do the work, to, you know, just set up the technology, et cetera, and then to follow through with it. So it actually becomes a successful page on Open Collective. And then there'd be the question of, all right, so there's money now, and how are we making decisions about that money? And so that gets into the governance and stuff like that. So that's those are the kinds of things that I have in my mind. They may or may not be the most important things, but they will keep coming up. And I do keep bringing them up because they're part of like the barriers for me to moving to this next stage.
Okay. So what I heard, like to reframe what I heard, is that like we have a process now for members to join Cosmos and it is insufficient. And so we need to take our current process and iterate on it and make these shifts that you mentioned, shifting to Open Collective, shifting to like a more hands-on onboarding, things like that. And so what we could do is take the process we have, articulate that in a tangible form, articulate how we would change and improve, strengthen, bolster that process, and articulate, you know, ideally desired outcomes so we know whether it's working. Mm-hmm. And then, so this, again, becomes just one, like, topic. Topic is maybe not the right word, but just one theme or whatever for a Thursday conversation. It's just another proposal. It's just another change proposal. It's another development proposal. And so we just need to like put it on the calendar. You know what I mean? Like we for now, we're kind of feeling out what feels salient. So if this feels like, because it's entangled with all these other things, it's the most salient, then that's what we do. I'm a huge fan of just the process of choosing what to do next based on like how many needs spiraling out from this moment can be met by this act. So if like one action could meet 5 needs, but this other action could meet 10, I'm going to do the thing that meets 10.
Right.
So that's in terms of filtering, like for now, when it's just the, you know, a few of us who have this kind of intensive focus on developing Cosmos, then it's just us. So like, let's talk through, you know, how changing this process would open up new potentials. I do think that if we're going to actually do this, we should also have in mind a campaign to raise members to get our finances to an even break, to just to a break-even viable place. That could be a goal of a campaign, is just like enough members to make it all work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if we're gonna have a campaign to raise members, in other words, a member drive, then we should also align that effort with a set of value propositions that members have.
Mm-hmm.
So CosmoPods could be one of those. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I fully agree with everything you said about their value, but that's something for a bigger conversation, because there's many different people interested in CosmoPods, and should, I think all of the people who have discussed this should be involved in defining what they even are.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we, you know, to, if we're going to imbue effort in a campaign to get to recruit, we got to have a value propositions on this side.
Right.
They may not be capacities we have, but we should have a pathway to build them that timeline-wise lines up with the campaign to get members.
Totally, yeah.
So we can say like, hey, join now and you'll even get a discount, because after this date, these other capacities that are going to be of big value to you as a member will be in place. You know, they may not be in place the moment you join, but like, look at all these great things you're going to get as of this date. So it is a project management and a kind of an alignment concern.
We can
plan these things.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not proposing that, you know, we rush out and the next thing we do is update our Open Collective. Like, I think that that's one thing that needs to happen among others. But it's not, and Open Collective may not be even the right path. I mean, that's just, to me, that's a quick way to kind of get a handle on this issue of money.
Mm-hmm.
And engage the community with it. But we should have other conversations about that, of course. And somebody may have a better idea. Somebody may be ready to build a holo app, you know, like, I don't know, but I know that that's,
yeah.
I know that that's like, I don't need feedback and to tell me that that's important, that we deal with the money question, you know, like that's already evident.
Yeah.
And, you know, beyond that, then there's technology and there's the other things.
The money question is much more than a membership question. It's a business model question.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But in every one of these cases, like, the thing about a process map is at any point, including even just defining what a step consists of, like, there's the potential for feedback. There's the mm-hmm. potential for people to say, I see it this way. What if we did that? What if instead of Open Collective, we did this? That's the nature, like, of this to me. Like, when I think about Cosmos fully functional, it's a total mess of this kind of like process iteration and like refinement and different opinions, and you know, but we have, it's complex. I shouldn't say mess, although it would probably also feel like a mess. Complex is a better word for this purpose, but it would be a giant complexity, and we would have responsive systems designed to adapted to that complexity.
Right.
So all of this is us figuring out what we need to have happen for us to have happen what we need. So it's back to that chicken and egg thing.
Right.
But to me, and maybe I'm just a geek for what people can do together, that's what I want. You know, speaking of chicken and egg, it's like this, you know, vicious loop, virtuous loop for me, that I want that process of all of us informing what we want to have happen and how we get there. So I think to go really like step way, 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 way back, just working on our ability to have these conversations in a transparent way, to do process mapping in a really transparent way. Maybe we get like a virtual whiteboard plugin that intersects with the forum, so we can have conversations that looks like updating the wiki. Like, so I'm a big fan of taking written notes. What if in our meetings we're taking written notes, we're also mapping, and the images can plug immediately in, like we're drawing on a joint whiteboard in one of these meetings, take a snapshot, plug it into the meeting notes, and then so we show from beginning to end of a meeting how the process map evolves, and then we end up with like our good enough, our best effort at a process map at the bottom of the notes, and that serves like to that serves as the basis of what we're going to do next unless we hear otherwise. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So we set up a window of time where it's like, hey, everyone who is a Cosmos member has a week to let us know if they oppose like this process being implemented by workers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we don't have workers yet. It's just, you know, the few of us who volunteer our time this way. But yeah, that kind of a thing. Because if we can just, yeah, we're going to continually be hampered by our inability to adequately digest feedback.
Right.
And so when we improve transparency of decision making, we improve opportunity for feedback. We improve our ability to have more collaborative decision making inherently. Yeah.
So how is a decision made? Like how is that effectuated, recorded, made accountable, you know?
What kind of decision?
Well, any, like, like going to Open Collective, for example, like shutting down.
Yeah. So that's a good, okay. So in my opinion, the most efficient or effective way of approaching this issue is that if the decision would not harm anyone, then just do it. Especially if you are de facto or otherwise, like de facto or formally, in a role where you're responsible. So like you currently are responsible de facto for the accounting, right? So if it would be better for you and for your systems to move to Open Collective, then just do it. Like no one else is really implicated in that until later when we're more mature and we have more participatory budgeting and things like that. So it's like do what's best for you with an eye towards what's best for everybody, and you can ask for feedback as to, you know, would this harm anybody? But probably it'll be fine. And so there's actually, and maybe this could be another topic to probe, but mapping domains of decision making, because in general, like agile, right, like it's just, you know, just do what needs to be done so that we can move the thing forward. Don't belabor it, but transparency is important, and opportunities to actually deliver feedback in an efficient way for the user are important, or else we effectively are saying we don't want your feedback, right. So you need to address those things. But there can be these domains where, and this is what I envision, kind of like the spectra of engagement. You know how we have like densely concentrated, heavily involved members all the way out to at the fringes, like very, very seldom involved members. Similarly, we would have that for decision making. So we have like out here, like, yeah, nobody else really needs to know. I'm just going to do it because it doesn't really harm anybody, or, you know. And then in maybe it's the other way around. In the center, it's like more individualistic or agent-centered, where it's like, yeah, I'm just going to do it because it mostly affects me and it could benefit others, therefore good enough. And then, you know, where the implications of a decision like maybe really could harm all sorts of members, those are constitutional level issues where then, you know, fully fledged cooperative governance mechanisms kick in because it would implicate. So quickly, let me just say the same decision. So like for instance, shifting to Open Collective today could be something that you just decide because you're the only one accountable to that kind of, you know, we all should be informed of what you're doing, but But that same decision 2 years from now might be a constitutional level decision.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's my opinion on what it would look like. My two cents.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, that makes sense to me. And that's also aligned with like the holacracy kind of idea of holonic contexts of autonomy, like, so it's semi-autonomy, where, you know, the different circles have responsibility for different areas, and they make decisions, and then there's transparency between the circles. And so I guess what I see coming out of this, that need for process mapping is central, because all of the interconnections between the different kinds of contexts that either I'm responsible for now, but, you know, or others, but that ultimately have to be sort of communally held. Like, we have to begin schematizing that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, see, I may not get to the open collective thing, because I know that, well, if I do that, then it's gonna, all this other work has to be done. It's however many hours of work that I don't have, you know, available.
That's so, a capacity issue. Yeah.
Right. So, but having that membership would, that sign up that process and people paying attention to it would increase the number of members. So that would help with the capacity.
But it's not just the number of members that we need. Think about that. We might have every person we need who wants to work and get paid for it. There's a little caveat there. Who has the technical skills right now, but we don't know it because we're not gleaning that information effectively.
Right.
Just us putting out a personal like appeal, like, gee, we really need help, is not maybe the thing that'll get the job done, but, you know, so we don't actually know if we need more members. Does that make sense? Like, just in terms of the productive capacity question, it comes back to the issue of how are we gleaning information from our members.
Right. And so, okay. We're going around. Because
what you could do is, I'm thinking about how to make roles transparent. Like, for instance, it's just assumed that you handle the finances. But, like, how could we make roles transparent? Maybe we use badges. Maybe we use, like, a formal announcement on just, like, a job bulletin board or something. Like, to clarify that. And also, how do we set up roles to have a lot of transparency in what they're doing to everyone else? Like, because at a bare minimum of just like system requirements, anyone authorized to do anything, that information that so-and-so is authorized to do something should be known, and their ability to report or transparently display what they've done, their decisions, the results should be also available. Just a requirements level.
Sure, sure.
And even if we just address that, we might discover almost like in reverse what we could do that we're not fully leveraging.
Right. So that requires setting up some kind of basic schema involving roles and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And
well, we're already taking on roles and responsibilities. There's just not the formal aspect. Mm-hmm. And that actually could be an invitation to a kind of community event. I think about like the Quakers and like community discourses and community events, and like, you know, what if we had a ritual where we like formally acknowledged, you know, somebody for their work, even like had awards, like most valuable player, whatever, I don't know. I'm just, you know, mm-hmm. But it would be like a means of community witnessing, a means of community recognition,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So really just taking what we're doing, but like announcing it and like making it colorful. And inviting people So just making it formal in the sense of like making it ritualized, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But what's the content? Like what would be we be announcing? What would we be ritualizing?
You know, like the roles being performed, the work being performed.
Which are? I mean, what are those? Like, could we? Wouldn't we have to articulate them?
Yeah, and we can do that. And I do want to just distinguish that, like, this is actually on the path to worker members, because, you know, everyone who's a part of Cosmos is helping to make it happen, in the sense that the content, the character and the content they're bringing to the discourse matters. Mm-hmm. But there are also people who are doing things to structurally develop Cosmos. That's not the same as content generation. And that needs to be acknowledged. That needs to be, we can use badges, we can, again, like, we can think through this, but to acknowledge that is a step in the direction of worker membership. Because it's saying, Caroline, for instance, is not just a commenter in Threads, is not just a this or a that. Caroline does work that develops capacity for all of you, for all of us, uh-huh, to, you know, thrive. And that needs to be valorized, redeemed. Yeah. Like the whole community needs to kind of acknowledge and celebrate that is even happening. Sure. Instead of it being kind of implicit and invisible, just kind of in the background of like, oh yeah, somebody's going to deal with that, right? Like for instance, right, the accounting thing, like you keep bringing it up. Why is nobody else bringing it up? Why isn't any of our currently paying members like, hey, who's handling accounting? Nobody's bringing it up because they're just like, oh, I'm sure somebody's taking care of that. That is one of the things about co-ops, about any organization, frankly, that is so dangerous but so commonplace, is just to assume people who look like they know what they're doing. And like, for instance, in co-ops, you'll have this real lack of accountability of the board to its members, not because people don't have good intentions, but because the members are like, yeah, I don't really, I mean, I care. Like, I would hate for my money to be mismanaged, but I refuse to invest any time or energy into finding out whether that's happening. So long as things look good and these board members seem trustworthy, like, there's kind of this assumption, it's like a cognitive bias in humans of just like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and we got to challenge that a little bit to be like, well, what makes you so sure? And I mean, eventually we can build in mechanisms where people are smoothly kind of processing little tidbits of information where there might be risk. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess what I'd like to propose is that, I mean, we do have an organization already. Things are happening already. There's a website there's websites that are running. There are groups that are meeting. You know, we're meeting. Like, there's a bunch of things already happening.
Yeah.
So what I think would be good would be to formalize them a little bit so that we could see these are the areas.
Yeah.
This is kind of the essential operations. These are the things that have to happen regularly.
Yeah, it could be as simple as making it visible to people, like a visual of what's happening. Or so that could be, in a big way, in my mind, like, sometimes that's all that's missing. It's just like, oh, this implicit is being made explicit. This is what's happening. Now right. All of us can see. Now all of us can understand. And that's a great platform for an interactive, iterative map like Kumu, because yeah, it would need to be updated regularly. We would constantly be morphing and shifting, but it would help. It would definitely help to have what you're talking about.
That this is, I mean, where I feel I'm stuck is that I'm too in the thick of it to get outside and map it all. Like, I need people to help map it, because it's just a time. Like, I could do it if I had a few weeks just to not do other things and think about it and, like, get, you know, actually, like, draw it all out and so forth. But if we had more of a committee or group doing that, then I can just provide the information, what I know, what I don't know. You know, we just, it would be a much better product. It would happen a lot faster. But I can't initiate that by myself. I mean, I could initiate it. I can't carry it through by myself. And I just don't have the time, you know, because I'm doing other things and keeping things, you know, going.
But if you picked someone and asked them, if you're like, hey, you.
Well, it's more than, it's really, I mean, it really is a group effort because it's defining how the whole thing works. So, I mean, at least you.
Well, just to interview you, I mean, like just to kind of get it on paper. We can definitely model that. Doug looks like he wants to say something.
I don't know if I'm coming through in full sentences here. Let me know. It's too choppy with my connection, but I'm perceiving just without even the Kumu map or having to map it out completely, just a simple what are the roles, which I think has probably been mapped out multiple times in various ways. That and then to actually go out to those individuals and just say, hey, I see, like, I can think of a few people who have frequented the site a little bit more. And we have that relationship where we can say, do this task. Not necessarily the technical side you're talking about. I don't foresee any direct individuals who could do that other than people like me just saying, I'll try, I'll see what happens. But I think just even having, like, say, okay, this person will do this, would be helpful.
Like the role of interviewing somebody else who holds a lot of roles for their information could be a role. Like you could make some fun labels and badges for these, but you know, designating a, you know, it's making me think of is this phenomenon of demand asking that happens in, I think it's Pacific Island, a certain Pacific Island, an indigenous group where it's like, you go up to somebody, in this case, you'd go up to somebody and say, I want you to be this role for me for a week. And it's kind of not negotiable. Like it's kind of like you're demanding that they do it in the sense that there's like a social bond and you don't want to hurt that bond. And if you can, you know, it's if they're even asking you, then it is serious, and so you know, you had kind of better like help them. So it's that kind of thing where it's like we kind of initiate firmly certain processes. Again, this could all fall apart, but it could be a way of getting it started, of just like, hey, why don't you try being the accountant for a week and see what it's like, you know, that kind of thing.
Or even on the smallest level, I'm just an example I'm thinking of on the site would be to notice that somebody has been frequenting the site and email them and say, I haven't had much time this week. Do you mind just taking note of any newcomers that are on the site that might have posted, maybe sending me an email of the links to these posts or names of the individuals or something like that? And if you'd feel so desired, you can welcome them in, but just providing that information to me would be helpful. That way I can take note of it and work on retaining membership, or that's just one small aspect, but even a quick email to somebody who frequents the site would be useful.
And once we have Litcoin going, it becomes a tool in this whole process where it's like, I'm gonna thank, if you can do this task for me, I'm gonna thank you with Litcoin that I have because this is a generative thing. So for instance, like, hey, you know, John, would you like to help me retain Cosmos members this week? Here's what you do. It's probably gonna take this much time, and here's some Litcoin at the end of the day if you do this thing. So again, like Litcoin, I'm just saying, like, it's gonna help with all, it's basically what we're talking about is kind of initializing worker membership, because it's basically making formal, making explicit, making rewarded or recognized and making doable the things we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, badges would be that's totally doable. There's these little, you can add a little icon next to somebody's forum, like a little circle with like a symbol or whatever. Just the acknowledgement is like, that's if we agree on what that would be, then that would be easy to implement. I think we do need some kind of inventory of, all right, who are the members now? Because there's people who have been actually paying money, who never really even participated still. So they're out, they're there. There's others who are participating, never paid money. The money is not important, but it's like, I'm comfortable with ambiguous boundaries there. Like, I don't mind that, but I think that, like, if we say we go out to the members, like, who does that mean, and how are we even communicating with them? Like, maybe they're not getting the messages. So I wonder if, I mean, I think maybe what we could do, and I'll just put this out so I don't lose the thought, is like a spreadsheet. Here are all the members. Like, here's everybody. This is, you know, do they have an account in the forum? Yes or no. You know, are they on Open Collective? Yes or no. Have they participated in a reading group? Yes or no. Have they participated in a working group? Yes or no. And then we can start to see and, like, you know, maybe communicate with people that haven't heard and engage people in particular tasks. And, you know, there's a bunch of people on the forum. There's people that signed up once or twice and never came back. And should we even keep their accounts active? Should we just email them and say, hey, are you still interested? Because if not, there's no point in keeping your account there. But we wouldn't really know that unless we had some sort of master spreadsheet or something like that that let us kind of follow up.
A rough draft is always feasible before it's fully formed, so I don't. It's useful to have that information around just to as a reference point.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
The information, like just having a spreadsheet, you mean?
Right, right. Just to actually put it on paper, whatever we're thinking of the ideas here. So even just simply writing it down, I just noted that I'll put together whatever I see. Maybe categories would be nice to know how to reference on the paper.
Mm-hmm. So where were we? I was just suggesting that one thing we could start doing is we can put together a simple spreadsheet of our members and with some columns like where they participate, like do they have a forum account? Are they an Open Collective? Have they participated in a reading group? Have they participated in a working group? And that way we just have a list and we can know who to reach out to. And we can also communicate to that list if we have, like, let's say we come up with a map of the committees and the roles. Then we can go out to the list and say, this is what we've come up with. Here's where you can see it. Here's where you can give feedback. Here's where you can sign up to play a role. And we start to, I guess, form who the groups are, who's doing what, and how it's being done. And because that's something we have. Like, I can get that information, I can download it, export it. We can put together a simple spreadsheet. Like, we can start to take stock. Of
great to eventually automate how we pull that information, because is it going to be manual for you to figure out like who was in which kinds of activity groups at this point?
At first, yeah, it will be manual, but it would be great to automate.
Yeah, but anyway, that sounds good. And one of the first things I would do with that spreadsheet once it's in hand is actually begin initiating CosmoPods. begin assigning people to CosmoPods as an experiment. Maybe people won't like that, but it would be helpful to mix it up in a diverse way. And CosmoPods, I see being the potential format for, you know, we've talked about like people would meet and they would introduce themselves and get to know each other, and they would also talk about what they want to have happen. They would talk about what they can offer and what they'd like to receive. But they can also talk about like, okay, here's a page from Cosmos that says all the things that Cosmos needs. Does any of us like want to do any of this? Like actually talking about, you know, participating in Cosmos, not just from the individual or the interpersonal frame, but also from the collective frame. That, the loop goes in the other direction too, where it's like, we're talking about what we want from Cosmos and Cosmos is telling us what it wants from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true. So it's past 1:30.
Yes.
Would we like to bring this to a close? Is there a salient next action that we could identify and move forward with?
Too long didn't read. It is messy to get complex and have autonomy and freedom to define what we want. Yay!
That's true. That's very true.
I think to review this video would be really fun, because I think we talked about at least 10 different, like, we could get together and talk through and map out and figure out X. We did that like 10 different times for different things, but that's just the nature of it. And in my opinion, just picking anything and doing something is great. It is, even though it feels like, oh, we're never getting anywhere. We are. It's just slow. Mm-hmm. And it could be a little faster if we had more people putting their hearts and minds and hands to work here. But also if we had better integration with each other. And that's what we're working on, mm-hmm. working toward.
Okay, so there was a poll put on the forum around the working groups. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we could do is that we can reconvene next week and work on something, like actually get something done in an amount of time. So let's say we wanted to put together CosmoPods. Mm-hmm. There'd be a group that meets and that writes it down, that figures, has the discussion, but also writes it down. You know, this is how it's going to work and this is how we can get started and so forth.
Yeah.
If it was going to be about, you know, membership or about finances, but if we can start to define the things that need to happen, need to get done, and then slotting them into the working sessions, and then we can have these conversations,
so those working groups would publish the results of their meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then could we put an expiration date on when people have a chance to review there and give feedback, and so like that team can actually begin implementing after the deadline, after that expiration date, you know? So people, I think it would drive momentum of people being like, oh, I gotta read that, you know, what the CosmoPods group said, because it's the last day before they're gonna start acting on it. I gotta give them, you know, any feedback I might have. This is my last chance to give that feedback before the next stage of implementation happens.
Right.
That kind of thing. Because I think that would be helpful. So groups can keep their momentum up, but there's also that transparency and feedback aspect too.
Yeah, sure. Right now there's just us.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to be the ones to do that.
Yeah.
The next meeting, the meeting time, there's two meeting times. Well, there's four that got three people that could do them. Monday, 12 to 3, Tuesday, 9 to 12, Wednesday, 9 to 12. Thursday, 10 to 1 is out because there's another meeting now at that time. But if we wanted to get together on Monday at noon, I'm game for that. That would be a time to, you know, get something done, because we'd have a window of time. So we could talk briefly at the beginning, decide what we want to focus on, and then actually get something done.
That would be. Do you want to pick something now, or you want to pick it at the time, like CosmoPods, or really any of this? Was I'm sure was value is valuable to talk about. Or the badges, roles.
I think the tasks, roles, or and or members for CosmoPods, I feel like that maybe needs an exploratory conversation with Matteo, maybe with Katina as well, who, you know, have some experience and insight and ideas about it. So what if, you know, we scheduled something like a Thursday something or another time that,
yeah,
that those are available. So now we're going to do a deep dive. Let's envision CosmoPods. And maybe the work session is different from that.
Yeah, I always like these like yin yang kind of complementary structures. Like what if, and we actually I think touched on this last time, but what if Thursdays were like the, we talked about this like reflection, visioning, research, discussion,
mm-hmm,
having special guests, like
mm-hmm,
to drive the visioning for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mondays were the working, the do, let's do it.
Yeah, I like that.
Inhale,
like
exhale that thing. Which one's the inhale? Reflecting? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, okay. Well, in that case, we might be on a schedule. We might end up setting up a situation where Thursday's topic initiates Monday's topic, like because right, we're kind of getting to a point of clarity, hopefully, maybe not. By the end of the Thursday session, we then have Monday's topic of what
we're. I like that. Yeah, that's elegant.
If it's not always going to work that way, though, because we might end up more mired by the end of a Thursday talk than we were in the beginning.
It could be, but there should still be work to be done that could be done on Monday, like ongoing unfinished stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Even if it's just like figuring out what to do. Yeah. So Thursday's conversation would inform Monday's activities. Monday's work. Then that means we should pick something for Monday. Or no, you just want to revisit it on Monday? We talked about so many things.
Well, perhaps it'd be a good time to actually start breaking things down. Like here are the areas, here's the work that needs to be done. Minimal, like, because a lot of it's going to be about getting people, like there's stuff that has that's happening already. Uh-huh. So we can articulate that. And wait, that gives,
I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
When you say here are the areas, like what do you mean?
Well, all right, like broadly you can talk about people and systems and finances, but more specifically we can talk about communications, accounting, technology, design, and forum maintenance, outreach and marketing.
Uh-huh.
Like there's all of these areas that would be, are already kind of happening, but would be part of next level, you know? So that, things like that, like, does that make sense?
So just to clarify, would it be like taking what we talked about today, summarizing it and adding more and just like getting to a base picture of what Cosmos needs?
Yeah. Get base picture of what Cosmos needs. Yeah.
Okay. It's still just going to be you and I, or whoever, maybe Doug or whoever else is going to participate in that, defining that. And that's, I think, maybe okay. It actually goes against what we talked about this past Monday, but that's okay. It's iteration. Like, it's maybe okay because of that executive level engagement. Like, we're already so immersed that it's probably fine to do that. And then we are de facto speaking for Cosmos in the sense of, like, I think it's, don't get me wrong, I think it's super important to illuminate these things that are just implicit or invisible to other members who may be less involved in the back end stuff. But just, it's, I'm just saying it goes in the opposite direction of surveying all of our members about what they want to have happen and then constructing a collective map from that.
Well, but we can include that because doing that work is going to require already having a sense of the structure of the communications.
Came back together. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, we can't, if we're going to go out and survey our members about this, you know, what everybody wants to have happen, who's going to do it? How's it going to work? Like, we have to actually define that before we start doing it so that we could engage those people in helping us to further define it. But it's not going to happen unless we already organize ourselves to do it. So that would be, I guess, what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. I'm up for any project. The fact is we've articulated 12 different projects that we could do, and they would all be moving that chicken egg hybrid phenomena forward. So I don't know what's most salient. I don't know what's most priority at this point. I'm fine with doing this. I actually think the most useful thing though would be for us to have homework before we reconvene on Monday. Maybe we actually create a joint whiteboard or something and start putting in our ideas. I, for one, am gonna rewatch this video and just cause I think there's 12 completely different projects that we talked about. So like just extracting from this video, that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, so it's even just Monday is going to be a lot to actually get that right, or not even right, but just get it hashed out enough that it makes sense.
Okay.
Don't you think it's going to take some homework to get started on the giant map of what Cosmos needs? I assume it's giant.
Yeah, I don't know. I do you have homework in mind that you think I should do? I don't know what homework to do.
I think doing that, like, I think we might not have enough time to co-create it. What we would want to do on Monday would be to synthesize. Like, but just dumping our ideas would be the homework. Somewhere that's joint.
Okay. So if we set up like, I don't know, I guess we could do a topic for Monday and say, here's an idea dump of the things that we think Cosmos needs, or would that be like, would that sort of prepare us to synthesize on Monday?
I think so.
Okay.
I would prefer a visual, but it's okay if it's like a giant document.
Like a whiteboard, an online whiteboard kind of thing?
Yeah, but we're not yet, unfortunately, in the habit. We don't have a tool that we use. We're not in the habit of visual graphic documentation.
Yeah.
So I think just whatever works for now. We can
do it. I don't know if you've seen the template attempts. Can you hear me?
Sorry, yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Doug. Doug, come back. I didn't mean to talk over you.
I think we lost him.
Go back.
Oh, he muted himself. Well, maybe there's something going on. Yeah, we don't have a tool. Your brother shared at one point the AWW board.
Yeah.
Look pretty cool. I have it open actually, just to take a look at it. But maybe we shouldn't adopt a tool before we meet. But we could try it on Monday. And I would like I've had it in mind to just sit down and dump a bunch of things, so I could do that ahead of time as well.
Doug just commented in the chat. I have a post in the sandbox called Template Attempts and was planning on putting the information there. I'm not sure what the information is referring to. I will ask him, or maybe he can hear me asking him right now. Do you mean for this massive? Oh. Yeah. So yeah, let's what else needs to happen for Monday? Oh, list of
I don't see what
okay.
What Doug is referring to.
Is the focus on is the focus
It's in the creative studio, that's why. It's not in the sandbox.
Oh.
It's called Template Attempts Stumps Edition. Here, I'll link to it.
So Doug, the focus being on creating a spreadsheet of members and their attributes. Is that what you're talking about? No. Oh, you linked it. No.
Right. Essentially.
Okay. Because that could be another thing we do just on Monday.
I wouldn't mind doing that either.
Because that's obviously.
That would be relatively narrow. That would be a relatively narrow accomplishable task. Because like, I could export everything from WordPress. From the forum, and we can put it in one spreadsheet and then just start saying, like, defining the columns.
And that spreadsheet could be formatted for Kumu.
It could be, yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying it would have to be automatically, just it could be. It could later be.
Yeah, I was just essentially stating that was my homework.
Cool. Well, why don't we make that the focus of Monday? And then I guess the topic for Monday is what can we do with this spreadsheet? So like, if you can do some homework to pull it together beforehand, then we can, you know, or you can just do that on Monday. But our time together could be, I guess I'm saying if you do it as homework, then on Monday, we could really talk about how we could use this tool, this spreadsheet.
That's good. I could get that started. That's feasible. That's concrete. That's actionable. And I think it is a step forward. So let's do that. I like that a lot too, because we'll be able to see like, oh, this is who we have to work with right now. And I think we'll be surprised that there's a bunch of people that, like we haven't even, maybe we forgot about, you know, or that we just haven't communicated with. And that, like you were saying, maybe all the skills and talents we need are already present and we just aren't communicating with them. So this would give us like the baseline level of like who's even available to do stuff. And that could be really a game changer, actually. You know, like each person that joins is a kind of game changer.
Yeah.
Especially at this stage, when it's a relatively small group.
If we're actually leveraging their human capital, their human powers, then it absolutely is a game changer. I think what we've been missing is a systematic way of leveraging people.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I'm going to work on that. And in fact, I may do it. Well, let me eat and see what I haven't had lunch. I barely had breakfast. So but before Monday, and that'll be what we focus on at noon. And I look forward to that. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you both for your commitment. I'll see you Monday.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.